look older. He scowled at her. That is no compliment. His smooth skin was the color of hazelnuts. His mouth, though stern, had a pleasant shape. The small scar that cut through his right eyebrow was the only imperfection. The Emperor looked into her eyes, and Ping's smile faded. His dark eyes were as cold as stones in winter. Ping had hoped that once he saw her, Yu Che would remember their friendship and forgive her. There was no hint of warmth in him, only anger. "So where's my dragon?" the Emperor demanded. Dung Fang Swor came puffing up the path and stood panting behind the Emperor. "Dancer flew across ocean to the Isle of the Blessed, with Hua," Ping replied. "I don't know if he survived the journey."
"Your rat went to the Isle of the Blessed?" the Imperial Magician asked.
The Emperor was about to reprove the Imperial Magician for interrupting, but then he stopped and turned back to Ping.
"Did he?"
"Yes, Your Imperial Majesty."
"This is the same rat that we have now," the Imperial Magician continued. "The one with the blue eyes."
Ping nodded. Everyone knew about the Isle of the Blessed, the magical place that was supposed to lie over ocean. Stories told of trees that bore giant peaches of immortality and the fungus of everlasting life. There was also a stream of jade water, the water of life. Some people had set out in flimsy boats to find the magical island. No one had ever returned. This was Ping's only hope now. As long as the Emperor thought she had knowledge of the Isle of the Blessed, he might keep her alive.
"Unfortunately, the rat escaped while the Longevity Council were examining it, Your Imperial Majesty," the Imperial Magician confessed.
Ping's heart leapt. Hua was free.
"Do you know where it is?" the Emperor asked Ping. She could honestly say that she had no idea where Hua was. "I want the rat found," the Emperor commanded.
Dung Fang Swa bowed.
"Whatever Your Imperial Majesty commands," he said.
One of the other ministers stepped forward and kneeled before the Emperor. "The punishment for stealing an imperial dragon is death, Your Imperial Majesty," he said. "Is it your wish that the prisoner be executed?" The Emperor's face turned hard again.
"Not yet."
He turned and walked away. The guards prodded Ping with their spears and marched her back to her prison. Kai popped back into his dragon shape as soon as the guards left. She gave him the few snails and slugs that she had collected for him. He ate them, but continued to make low, sad sounds. She sat down in the straw and let him drink a little more of her blood. Ping had saved a sharp piece of bone that she'd found in her gruel. She stayed up most of the night trying to saw through one of the bamboo canes of her prison with it. If she could remove just one cane, they could escape, and she and Kai could take their chances in the tiger forest. The only other choice was to reveal Kai to the Emperor. Once that was done, there would be no turning back. The little dragon would be kept in captivity for the rest of his life. That wasn't what Dancer had wanted. Though he had been in captivity at Huang Ling for many years, he had spent many hundreds of years free. The next morning, Ping was allowed to walk in the garden again,
but the same pair of imperial guards were always a few steps behind her, spears at the ready in case she attempted any sorcery. She didn't want to go to the Garden of Secluded Harmony again. The looming tower spoiled the design of the walled garden. She was too weak to walk that far anyway. Dung Fang Swore appeared suddenly from behind a tree just as she was squashing a large slug. He was the only person who didn't seem to be afraid of her. Before he had a chance to say anything, Ping asked a question of her own. "Who is the woman imprisoned in the bamboo grove?" she asked.
"That is the Emperor's sister,
Princess Yang Xin," Dung Fang Swore replied. "But she is not imprisoned."
"Then why is she so unhappy?"
The Imperial Magician looked around to make sure the guards couldn't hear. "Her father arranged a marriage for her with the Duke of Yan. Politically, it was an excellent marriage. In the past, disputes with the state of Yan cost the lives of many imperial soldiers. There were rumors that the Duke might even join with the barbarians on the other side of the Great Wall. That would be a great threat to the Empire. The marriage brought peace with Yan." The Imperial Magician continued to smile, even though the story was very serious. "Unfortunately, the marriage was not as desirable for the princess. Her husband is an old man, rather coarse in his eating habits, who already has 6 wives. Her Imperial Highness has spent several years in lands within arrow range of barbarian invaders."
"She must have been very lonely," Ping said.
"But she's here now, so the Duke must have allowed her to visit her brother." The Imperial Magician turned in the direction of the pavilion. "No one has seen her smile for 6 years." His own smile shrank to a small curve, like a piece of orange rind. That seemed to be as close as he could get to a frown. He asked her questions about Dancer. Did she expect him to return? Had he spoken of other dragons? What magical powers did he have? 1/2 hour later, he hurried off just as unexpectedly, halfway through a sentence. The rest of the day dragged by as Ping listened to the miserable screeches of the monkeys and the soft padding of the black cat. Then Dung Fang Swore appeared on the other side of her cage and continued their conversation where he had left off, as if he had merely paused for thought, rather than disappeared for 1/2 a day. Ping tried to answer the Imperial Magician's questions, but needed all of her concentration just to stay awake. The next day, Ping knew that she couldn't bleed herself again without collapsing. The guards came to take her for her daily walk. "I'm going to take you out into the garden today," she told Kai. She turned her back on the guards as Kai wrapped his tail around her arm and took on the shape of the soup ladle.
"Why do you want to take that with you?"
asked the guard with a thin moustache.
"So that I can drink from a stream," she said, "if I get thirsty."
The guards weren't quite so afraid of their pale, quiet prisoner now. They looked at each other and shrugged. They led her to a quiet part of the garden. No one else seemed to go there, not even the gardeners, who had neglected the fallen leaves, leaving them to pile in corners. Out of sight of their captain, the guards sat on one of the stone benches and played a game with pebbles. The breeze carried the faint sound of crying. Ping wanted to get another glimpse of the weeping princess, but she didn't have the strength to walk that far. She was just thinking that she would have to reveal Kai to the Emperor when she noticed one of the piles of leaves shifting She thought loss of blood was making her see things. A rat's head appeared among the leaves. Ping clamped her hand over her mouth to stop a cry of pleasure escaping. She glanced at the guards, who were still lounging on the stone bench.
Qua, she whispered. I've been so worried about you.
She picked up the rat and examined him. A patch of fur had been neatly shaved off him, and several of his whiskers were missing.
What have they done to you?
Dong Fang Sua suddenly popped out from behind a twisted rock. Hua dived back under the pile of leaves.
And the dragon's speech?
The imperial magician asked. He carried on his conversation from the previous day as if he'd just paused to order his thoughts. Ping felt so weak, she was worried she might fall into a faint. She focused on the magician's misshapen slippers.
Were you the only one who could understand it?
I have only met one other person who could understand dragon speech, Ping replied. That was Wang Xiao, the herbalist. Unfortunately, a dragon hunter killed him. But he wasn't a true dragon keeper. He didn't have second sight.
Did you always understand Dancer?
He asked.
No. Understanding only seems to come when the dragon keeper has been in the company of a dragon for some time.
Dong Feng Suo nodded his head. The same as the second sight, he said.
Yes.
The imperial magician thought about this for quite a long time. Then he spoke again.
Come with me, Ping. The Longevity Council is waiting.
The imperial magician led Ping to the Chamber of Spreading Clouds. Ping slowly followed him. Two carved chairs with cushions on them had been placed at one end of the chamber. The other four members of the Longevity Council were gathered there. A nervous-looking imperial guard came in, carrying a cloth bundle. He placed it on a low table and gingerly opened out the corners. The bundle contained all her belongings. Her gold coins, her jade pendant, the dragon stone shards, the dragon scale, the large leaf folded in half. Her comb, sewing needle, and thread were also there. Her cooking things were there, as well as her hand-carved bucket and a soup ladle that was identical to the one hanging over Ping's arm. The only things that weren't there were the dragon keeper's mirror, which she kept in a secret pocket sewn inside her gown, and the imperial seal, which was in her pouch. The strange men of the Longevity Council inspected her belongings. They peered at her simple cooking utensils as if they might hold deep secrets. But they didn't touch anything. They poked at her belongings with sticks. Except for the blind minister, who sniffed each item. Everyone in the room suddenly collapsed to their knees and bowed their heads to the floor. The emperor entered, sweeping into the room in his formal yellow satin gown, woven through with soaring golden dragons. Ping was feeling faint, so she was relieved to sink to her knees. A young woman was with the emperor, her hand resting lightly on his arm. It was the weeping woman from the pavilion, Princess Yang Xin. She was as slender as a sapling and took such tiny steps that she seemed to glide, like a swan on a still pool. Her gown was made of lilac silk gauze, which was so light it floated around her. Her sleeves were so deep they nearly reached the floor. The emperor escorted the princess to one of the carved chairs. He took her hand to lend her support as she lowered herself gracefully onto it. A lady-in-waiting arranged the princess's gown around her. The emperor smiled fondly at the princess. Ping felt a pang of sadness. Perhaps he would smile at her again, if he knew about Kai. The emperor gave permission for everyone to get to their feet. Ping stayed on her knees. She could see the princess's face for the first time. Her eyes glistened. They were dark and moist, as if about to overflow with tears. Her lips were painted red, but her mouth was downturned. Her face was as pale as moonlight. She was the most beautiful woman Ping had ever seen, but she was also the saddest. It wasn't just her sorrowful face. A shroud of miserable sadness cloaked her, just as the folds of her gorgeous gown did. The emperor didn't sit. Without glancing in Ping's direction, he went over to the low table and studied the things laid out on it. Ping felt very uncomfortable. Her whole life was spread out on that table. All her hopes and secrets were there in full view for anyone who took the trouble to interpret the items. He reached out to pick up something.
"I advise you not to touch the items, Your Imperial Majesty," Dong Fang Sua said.
"Why not?" asked the emperor.
"There is some sort of enchantment on the sorceress's things."
The imperial magician's smile looked dangerously close to fading.
"Two imperial guards who touched her belongings immediately fell to the ground in a faint. One of them woke after a few days. The other is still unconscious. Physicians have been unable to rouse him. Let someone else pick up the items for you, Your Imperial Majesty."
The Imperial Magician moved to pick up an object for the Emperor, but changed his mind and waved a servant over to do it instead. The terrified servant reached towards Ping's comb with a trembling hand, but snatched his fingers back before they touched it. The Emperor let out an impatient sigh. He picked up the comb and the jade pendant. He looked at all the items and then picked up one of the pieces of dragonstone. He held it up to the light. "Is this a piece of the stone that the dragon hunter tried to take from you on Tai Shan?" Ping nodded. Yu Che had witnessed her battle with Diao from a distance. He had seen her defeat the dragon hunter and then watched as she picked up the dragon stone and escaped on the old dragon's back.
"What happened to it?"
he asked. "I dropped it," Ping replied. "It broke." He put down the shard.
"You no longer have the seal of the Imperial Dragon Keeper," the Emperor said angrily.
"Yes, I do," Ping said, pulling the white jade seal from her pouch. Yu Che waved Dong Fang Suo to take it from her. The Imperial Magician wiped off the caterpillar innards and insect legs that were stuck to it and put it in the Emperor's hand. The Emperor examined the seal, rubbing the chipped corner with his thumb. Ping wished she'd taken greater care of it. He put the seal on the table with the other things and reached towards the folded leaf. He opened it out. Ping's cheeks burned. Inside was the pressed magnolia petal, on which the Emperor had shown her how to use the Dragon Keeper's seal. Ping had kept it as a souvenir of that happy time. He turned the brittle petal over. It was a fragile thing, and would have crumbled if handled roughly, but he put it back between the folds of the leaf undamaged. The Emperor turned to Ping.
"Your possessions are puzzling," he said.
He picked up the soup ladle on the table and examined its dragon head handle. Then he looked at the ladle on Ping's arm.
My spies tell me you've been living on Tai Shan, in a cave.
He moved over to stand in front of her as he spoke.
Why did you find the need to have two such expensive bronze soup ladles?
With the Emperor standing so close, Ping couldn't think of an answer. He reached out to take the ladle from her arm.
Don't touch it, Liu Che, Ping cried, jumping to her feet and holding back the Emperor's hand. There was a sound like a brief, sharp wind, as every single person in the hall gasped in astonishment. Ping had dared to touch the Emperor and to call him by his personal name. Most people weren't even allowed to hear the imperial name, let alone speak it. But before the guards had a chance to drag her away, the soup ladle on Ping's arm started to shimmer. Its color began to change from dull bronze to purple. The gasps turned to cries of real fear. There, before the eyes of twice 10 or more witnesses, the soup ladle turned into a small dragon. The ladies in waiting screamed. A servant dropped a wine jar. The ministers and guards jumped back in astonishment, except for Dong Fangshuo, who chuckled heartily to himself as if he just solved a puzzle that had been eluding him. The servants stared at the baby dragon. The princess leaned forward in her chair to get a closer look. The emperor stood with his mouth open, looking more like a startled boy than an emperor. Kai blinked and made a high sound like a single shrill note on a flute, repeated again and again. He was terrified. He'd never had so many people staring at him before. He turned into a bucket, then a pot plant, then back into a dragon again. There were groans of discomfort from those who had continued to watch the shape changing. One of the princess's maids was sick. Then Ping heard different sounds, high-pitched but tuneful. It took a moment for Ping to realize that the sounds weren't the dragons. They were coming from Princess Yang Xin. When the small dragon reappeared, the melody broke out again. The princess was laughing. The guards and servants stared from the dragon to the princess, not sure which was the most miraculous. Not only had a dragon materialized in front of them, but also the princess, who hadn't smiled in years, was laughing. Dong Fangshuo laughed with her. It was infectious. The ministers and servants began to chuckle. Ping smiled too. Kai saw the emperor's smiling face. His sounds changed to happy flute notes. His name is Kai, Your Imperial Majesty. Lung Kai Duan, Ping explained. I didn't know it the last time I was here at Mingyang, but the dragon stone was an egg. When we reached ocean, Kai hatched out of it. The little dragon ran over to the emperor, making excited noises, like someone blowing the highest possible notes on a flute. The emperor looked down at the purple creature at his feet. He shook his head in amazement.
Hello, Kai, the emperor said. My name is Liu Che.
Liu,
said the dragon voice inside Ping's head, trying to pronounce the unfamiliar name.
Lulu!
Ping was very glad no one else could hear. The emperor laughed as Kai sat on his gold-embroidered shoes. This is a most auspicious day, he announced. Heaven has chosen to deliver a gift to me.
Where is the scribe?
Let him record that on the 9th day of the 9th month of the 1st year of my reign, a new imperial dragon appeared at Mingyang Lodge.
Chapter 12. The Auspicious Sparrow.
Ping and Kai were moved out of the animal cage and into a chamber in Mingyang Lodge. It was just as lovely as the one that Ping had stayed in the last time she was at Mingyang, but this time it was Kai who slept in the comfortable bed. Ping was expected to sleep on a straw mattress on the floor. A cook came to ask what the dragon ate. Ping gave him a long list of insects. The cook went away with a perplexed look, never having been asked to serve such things before. Not long after, a servant arrived and presented Kai with a platter of worms, snails, and caterpillars, artfully arranged and decorated with butterfly wings. There was also a large bowl of milk. It was three times the size of the meals he'd had on Tai Shan, but he ate it all, including the decorations. Ping thought that for the first time in his short life, he had enough to eat. When Kai had finished eating, the servant brought Ping a small bowl of gruel. They were allowed to walk in the gardens whenever they wished, but some things hadn't changed. The pair of imperial guards was never far behind them. Ping tried not to let Kai out of her sight, but it was hard to keep up with him. He was enjoying his freedom. On Tai Shan, Ping had never let him go far. Worried that he might trip over his big feet and fall down a cliff, she had only allowed him to play in the restricted space around the pool. Now he could run around wherever he pleased. Ping walked slowly up Mingyang Hill. It would take her a while to recover her full strength. She couldn't keep up with Kai. She'd last seen him heading towards the Garden of Secluded Harmony. When she came to the Watching Magnolia Buds open pavilion, she sat down to rest. She heard footsteps and the high, sweet notes of a flute. The Emperor was walking towards the pavilion with a happy dragon at his feet.
Ping, Kai's voice said in her mind. Not hungry, Ping.
Ping lowered herself to her knees and bowed down before the Emperor.
Lulu, said the little dragon excitedly.
He had taken to imperial life as if he were born to it. The Emperor didn't say anything. Ping remained on her knees, wondering what he would think of the name Kai had for him. A pair of worn slippers came into view alongside the Emperor's embroidered shoes. They had holes cut in them to accommodate the lumps on the feet inside. Ping could hear the panting breath of the Imperial Magician. It seems that there is another crime to add to your list of charges, the Emperor said. The theft of an imperial dragon egg. Ping could tell from his tone that Liu Qi was no longer angry with her. She smiled into the path and then sat back on her heels.
Yes, Your Imperial Majesty.
Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Kai wander into a flower bed, trampling yellow autumn crocuses before he lifted his back leg and peed on a plant pot.
Pee,
he said proudly. That was a new word.
Why did you commit this crime?
The Imperial Magician asked. The foul smell of dragon urine drifted over the garden.
Hong, said Kai.
Another new word.
It was what Dancer wanted me to do, Ping replied. He didn't want his son to live in captivity. Pee Pong, said the dragon. Pong, Ping. Dong Fang Suo's straggly ribbons of office were fluttering in the breeze. They caught the little dragon's attention. He ran over and tried to catch them in his mouth.
"So you chose to hide the young dragon from his imperial majesty," the imperial magician said.
Ping nodded. Kai's teeth snapped around one of the ribbons. He tugged at it, growling as he did.
"Stop that, Kai," said Ping. "Don't annoy Dong Fang Suo."
"That's so," said Kai.
"You didn't trust me to care for the dragon, Ping?" It was the Emperor who spoke this time. Ping felt her cheeks burn.
"It was Dancer's wish."
"Do you expect Dancer to return?" the Emperor asked, ignoring the tussle between his dragon and his imperial magician. The imperial magician pulled the other end of the ribbon. It ripped, leaving a length dangling from the dragon's mouth. Dong Fang Suo staggered backwards, his belly jiggling.
"Fatso, fatso, fatso," said Kai.
Ping lowered her forehead to the path again, so that the Emperor couldn't see her smile.
"Did you hear my question, Ping?"
the Emperor asked.
"Yes, I'm sorry, Your Imperial Majesty," Ping stammered, "but Kai keeps distracting me."
"Do you understand his sounds as you did with the old dragon?"
"Yes," Ping said.
"What is he saying?"
"Pee, pee, pong," said Kai.
"Nothing that makes any sense, Your Imperial Majesty," said Ping. "It's just baby talk."
"Get up, Ping," the Emperor ordered. "I can't hear what you're saying when you're talking into the path."
Ping stood up. "I've been speaking with the Longevity Council," he said. "They think it is most fortunate that the young dragon has arrived at this time. They see it as a unique opportunity to learn more about dragons."
"Since dragons live for hundreds, possibly thousands of years," Dong Fang Suo said, "the council believes that dragons might be important in His Imperial Majesty's search for longevity. We are looking forward to studying the dragon to discover what gives them such long life."
Ping was about to ask how they were going to study Kai when Dong Fang gasped in surprise.
"Look," he said, "Your Imperial Majesty, a green sparrow, the most auspicious bird."
He was pointing at a tree. Ping and the Emperor both peered at it, but couldn't see a bird. The leaves rustled.
"I see it!" exclaimed Liu Che.
Ping stared at the tree, but still couldn't see a bird.
"There, on the lower branch."
Ping finally located the bird. It was just like an ordinary sparrow, except that it was green. Not bright green, but a rather drab color flecked with brown. It blended almost invisibly with the leaves that were starting to turn brown around the edges. The Emperor and the Imperial Magician were very excited by the dull little bird.
"I have never seen such a bird before," the Emperor said. "I have lived four times as long as Your Imperial Majesty, and this is only the second time I have glimpsed one," the Imperial Magician said. "This is a true sign that heaven is smiling on your reign."
Ping thought the bird was rather dowdy and unremarkable compared to the red phoenix she'd seen on Tai Shan, but she kept this to herself. The Emperor smiled. Ping was glad to see him happy.
"Good," he said. "I have been hoping for an auspicious omen."
The bird fluttered to another tree and disappeared among the leaves. Ping wondered why there weren't more birds with green feathers. It was the perfect concealment for them. The Emperor turned to Ping. His smile didn't fade.
I have decided not to have you beheaded.
Your Imperial Majesty is very kind.
I didn't have a choice, he said bluntly. The court's knowledge of dragons has greatly diminished thanks to my family's neglect. You know more about dragons than anyone.
He sat on a stone bench.
I am still angry with you for allowing my other dragon to escape, though.
I'm sorry, Your Imperial Majesty.
But you made my sister laugh. I'm grateful for that. His voice softened when he spoke of his sister.
Thank you, Your Imperial Majesty, but it was Kai who made her laugh, not me.
Don't contradict me, Ping, or I might change my mind. You brought him here. I like having a dragon around.
He likes you, Your Imperial Majesty, Ping replied. He's wary of others, but he took to you straight away. The Emperor gestured for Ping to sit on the bench next to him. Kai was trying to sit on the hem of his gown.
You can call me Liu Che again, Ping, the Emperor said.
Lulu, Kai agreed. Thank you, Ping said. I shouldn't have hidden Kai from you. It only put him at more risk.
You must trust in me to take good care of Kai.
I will. They sat in silence while Kai scampered after some autumn leaves. It was the comfortable silence of friends.
I missed our conversations, Ping, Liu Che said. I'm looking forward to renewing our friendship.
So am I, Ping whispered.
Do you remember when we first met? You called me an annoying boy.
Ping blushed at the memory. This time, when Liu Che looked at her, his eyes were full of warmth and affection. She hadn't felt so happy for a long time. In fact, she thought she had probably never felt so happy.
I am reinstating you to the position of Imperial Dragon Keeper, the Emperor said.
Ping couldn't speak for a moment.
As a member of the Imperial staff, you will eat in the Hall of Cool Fragrance, with the ministers and myself.
Thank you, Liu Che, she whispered.
You will need a new gown as well.
Ping looked down at her grubby gown.
Tell me about your rat, Ping, he said. How has he changed since returning from the Isle of the Blessed?
Ping saw no point in keeping secrets from the Emperor any longer. She told him all about Hua's new skills. The Emperor was very interested. She didn't tell him that the rat visited her every night.
I have sent 6 men off to ocean to sail east until they find the Isle of the Blessed, the Emperor told her enthusiastically. I must have some of the water of life. If it can transform a rat in such a way, imagine how it will transform an emperor.
Liu Che, there is something I must tell you, she said. While I was on Taishan, I was attacked by a necromancer. He killed my goat. He was looking for Dancer. The Emperor looked puzzled.
A necromancer?
He was the one who captured Dancer and was going to kill him and sell his body parts in the town of Wucheng. He got hold of the Dragonstone, but I stole it back from him. He wants to get his revenge.
The Emperor frowned. Do you know anything about this Dongfeng Swore?
The Imperial Magician shook his head.
I have heard of people who can conjure up the dead and meddle with dark magic, he replied.
The Emperor turned to Dongfeng Swore with a frown.
Why have you never told me of such men?
Your Imperial Majesty, we must commence a search for this necromancer. Liu Che interrupted. He glared at the Imperial Magician.
Call for the captain of the guard. Immediately.
Ping was pleased the emperor was taking her concerns so seriously. Dong Feng swore, opened his mouth to make some objection, but was interrupted by a sudden shrill cheeping from behind a chrysanthemum bush. Everyone turned to see where the noise was coming from, but it stopped abruptly. Kai appeared out of the bushes looking very pleased with himself. Ping's heart sank. His cheeks were stuffed full. Green feathers were poking out of his mouth.
Kai!
Ping shouted, jumping up from the bench and rushing over to the dragon. She thumped him on his back. Kai swallowed. It was too late. His long red tongue licked his lips. He had eaten the auspicious green sparrow.
You're a bad dragon, Ping scolded.
Kai belched loudly. He didn't look at all sorry. Ping glanced back at Yu Zhe. Surely it was a bad omen if the auspicious green sparrow was eaten. Neither Dong nor the emperor seemed to think so. They were both laughing. He must be hungry, the emperor said. We must give him more to eat. Ping watched Kai closely for the rest of the day. She remembered what had happened when he had eaten the water beetles. She was worried he was too young to start eating birds, but there didn't seem to be any ill effects. I suppose it's all right for you to eat birds, Ping said, examining the little dragon's droppings, which he was in the habit of leaving all over Ming Yang Lodge.
Birdie good, said Kai.
Chapter 13. Reading Lessons. Ping knew that Yu Che's grandfather had disliked dragons so much that he moved them to Huangling Palace so that he could forget they existed. His father had planned to sell the imperial dragons to a dragon hunter. She was pleased that Yu Che's attitude to dragons was the exact opposite. He wanted to see Kai every day. In fact, he seemed determined to make up for his ancestors' neglect. He appointed 5 members of his staff to tend to the baby dragon's needs and gave them all special titles. The dragon attendant's job was to follow Kai around, wipe up puddles of urine, collect droppings, and carry Kai on an embroidered satin cushion if he didn't feel like walking. The dragon cook prepared 6 dragon meals a day. There was also the grand hunter of birds, whose job it was to catch swallows. The sheep constable took care of a small herd of sheep that provided milk for the dragon. Kai had decided he didn't like goat's milk anymore. The grand officer of ducks looked after a flock of ducks, whose eggs were solely for Kai. The emperor was so delighted with his new dragon that he decided to name the garden surrounding Ming Yang Lodge after him. From now on, it will be known as the Garden of the Purple Dragon, he announced as they ate their meal one evening. The imperial magician and the members of the Longevity Council applauded in approval. The government ministers didn't look quite so pleased. Yu Zhe ordered all iron utensils and weapons to be replaced with bronze and had the iron sent away. When Ping told him of the other things that were harmful to dragons, the emperor ordered the gardeners to chop down the 2 china berry trees in the garden. He also instructed servants to conduct a search for clothing and tapestries made of 5 colored thread, and remove them from the lodge. Kai now had 3 separate chambers, one for sleeping, one for eating, and another one that didn't seem to have any particular purpose. They were now called the Dragon Quarters. Ping had a separate room, but it was very small compared to Kai's. Kai was allowed to go anywhere he liked in the gardens, and he trampled bushes, ate flowers, and stirred up mud in the ponds.
He followed the young emperor wherever he went. He tried to climb onto his lap when he was sitting on the imperial throne receiving his ministers and making important decisions. When he wasn't with the emperor, Kai was jumping out from behind trees to frighten the servants, leaving muddy footprints all over the halls and causing chaos in the kitchens. For the first time in her life, Ping could relax. All she was required to do was translate dragon speech. Though she saw little of him during the day, Kai always came to sleep with her at night. Even though he had a large sleeping chamber of his own, he always chose to curl up alongside Ping on her straw mattress. His vocabulary increased as he tried to tell Ping about his adventures each evening. His scales turned a lustrous purple, the color of lilac blossoms. Ping had stopped trying to think of a plan to escape. Kai was so happy and healthy, she decided that getting arrested was one of the best things that had happened to her. Who knows why disasters turn out to bring good fortune? Dancer had said to her more than once. Surely he would have approved of Kai living in this sort of captivity. The servants put up with Kai's bad behavior without complaint, even when he bit them. But though Hua was clean in his habits and didn't bite anyone, the few times they caught sight of the rat, there was always a fuss, and people talked of traps and cages. "You must stay out of sight, Hua," Ping said when they were alone in the evening. She stroked the rat's warm fur. It was a mystery to her why people didn't like him. She brought him leftovers from her meals. She could never eat all the food that was served to her. And the rat got into the habit of sleeping during the day and going out at night. Ping had been for a long walk right to the western edge of the garden, where it ended on the banks of the Yellow River. She had spent most of the afternoon watching boats and water birds on the river. Then she walked back up to Ming Yang Lodge, wondering what would be for dinner that evening. Her thoughts were interrupted outside Late Spring Villa.
"Excuse me, madam."
The dragon attendant was standing in front of Ping, trying to decide if he should bow to her or not. The man's name was Xiao Zhong, but Kai had taken to calling him Saggy Pants. This was because his trousers were too big for him, and he was always hitching them up. His eyes were shiny with tears.
"I can't find the Imperial Dragon," he said, wringing his hands.
"Were you trying to clean his ears again?" The dragon attendant nodded miserably. He was a tall man, about 4 times 10 years old. He had a droopy face that looked sad most of the time. He also looked a little lopsided. This was because one of his feet was bare.
"He took my shoe."
Ping bit her lip to stop smiling. "I'll help you find him," she said. The dragon attendant had already searched the places where Kai usually hid. In the pools, in the cellar where vegetables were stored, behind the piles of animal manure used to fertilize the gardens. But couldn't find him anywhere.
"I bet I know where he is," Ping said.
Ping strode into the chamber of spreading clouds.
"I know you're in here somewhere," she said.
Instead of a hiding dragon, she found the emperor and his imperial magician in the chamber. They were both poring over bamboo books. A silk hanging at the other end of the room settled back against the wall, as if someone had just hurried past it. There was a brief silence. Zhong Fang Suo was retying the ends of a book that had come undone. The emperor looked annoyed by her interruption, but it was Zhong Fang Suo who broke the silence.
"How dare you burst unannounced into the emperor's presence," he said.
He rolled up the book he was looking at and tucked something under his gown.
Ping had never heard the Imperial Magician speak so angrily. She knelt down and bowed to the Emperor, glad to be able to hide her flushed face.
"Excuse me, Your Imperial Majesty," she said. "I didn't know you were here. I was looking for Kai. He sometimes hides in here."
"His Imperial Majesty does not want to be disturbed," Dongfang Swore continued.
His outburst had made him break out into a sweat. He mopped his brow with his sleeve.
"It's all right, Dong," Yu Che said. "Ping wasn't to know I would be here."
He rolled up the book he was reading and put it back in a chest that was overflowing with books.
"Kai isn't here. I haven't seen him today."
Ping didn't ask about the books, but the Emperor explained their presence anyway. "These bamboo books have arrived from the capital, Chang'an," the Emperor said. "They are all the books in the Imperial Library concerning dragons. I sent messengers to fetch them."
"They must have arrived very quickly," Ping said, remembering how long it had taken her and Dancer to journey from Chang'an, even though they had travelled much of the way on the rushing Yellow River. It was only a week since Kai's sudden appearance at Mingyang Lodge.
"Messengers ran day and night and were there in less than 4 days. A swift boat carried the books from Chang'an."
She looked at a book that lay open on the floor. It was made of thin strips of bamboo bound together side by side. Each strip had a column of characters written on it. To her, the characters were meaningless jumbles. Ping sighed. "I wish I could read them." The Emperor took the book and ran his finger down a column of characters. "It says that emperors have kept dragons for thousands of years," he said, following the characters with his finger. "They bring luck." "Dancer told me that if the Imperial dragons are happy, it is a good omen for the Emperor," Ping told him. "If they are miserable, it is a sign that he isn't managing the Empire well." At that moment, Kai came running into the room. He had something in his mouth. "What have you got there, Kai?"
"Nothing," he said.
The little dragon stuck his head under a low table in an attempt to hide.
"I can still see you," Ping said.
She pulled the dragon out from under the table by his tail. Ping tried to take whatever it was from his mouth. He wouldn't let go. She pulled until it ripped in two. She held up her half. It was a piece of chewed leather, slimy with dragon saliva. It took her a while to work out what it was. Or rather, what it had been.
"Kai," Ping exclaimed, "you shouldn't be chewing Saggy Pants' shoe. That's very naughty."
The Emperor laughed.
"Who is Saggy Pants?"
"That's what Kai calls the dragon attendant," Ping replied. Kai found his silk ball in a corner of the chamber. He put it into the Emperor's lap.
"Lulu, play," he said.
"What does he want, Ping?"
"He wants you to play ball with him, Your Imperial Majesty."
The Emperor picked up the ball and examined it as if he had never seen such a thing before. He put it down at the dragon's feet. Kai's spines drooped. Yu Che looked uncomfortable. Ping got the feeling he'd never had much chance to play with a ball. Ping threw the ball for Kai, who chased it across the room, skidding around on the polished wooden floor. The Emperor smiled.
"I think we can safely say that the Imperial Dragon is happy," he said, getting to his feet. "Appoint scholars to read these books most carefully, Dong. I want to find out everything I can about dragons. Of all the creatures in the Empire, they live the longest. We must discover what it is that gives them such longevity."
If I could learn to read, I could save you the trouble of appointing people to do the job, Ping said.
Unfortunately, at the moment, there is no one with the time to give reading lessons, Yu Che said.
I can teach Ping to read, said a quiet voice from the doorway. It was Princess Yang Xin. She had just entered. It was the first time Ping had heard her speak.
Ping thought she saw a flicker of annoyance pass over the Emperor's face. That won't be necessary, Yu Che said. I'm sure someone can be found for these duties.
I would like to take on this task, the princess persisted. It would help me pass the days.
The Emperor's mouth softened. He took his sister's hand and smiled at her.
Very well, he said.
Ping thought she must have misread his expression. Yu Che would never be annoyed with his sister. The next morning, Princess Yang Xin's lady-in-waiting came to take Ping to her first reading lesson. Ping had seen Lady An before. She was always near the princess, sitting in the shadows, walking a few steps behind, watching in case her mistress needed anything. Lady An was a woman of about 3 times 10 years old, who moved with the same quiet grace as the princess. She hardly said a word to Ping, but her gentle face was friendly and encouraging. She led Ping to the rustling bamboo pavilion, where Ping had seen the princess crying. Ping stopped at the bamboo canes that ringed the pavilion. Lady An showed her the secret to getting through the bamboo curtain. The canes were not planted in a circle at all. It was an illusion. They were actually planted in a spiral, and a narrow path curled alongside the canes and eventually found its way to the pavilion. Ping waited for Lady An to follow her, but the older woman shook her head.
Come in, Ping, the princess said.
Ping bowed to the princess. It is very generous of you to spend your time teaching me, Your Imperial Majesty. It was the first time Ping had seen Princess Yang Xin close up. Her hair was arranged in an elegant swirl, held in place with silver combs. A jade bird decoration was perched on top. It had delicate wings made of silver as thin as silk cloth that trembled whenever the princess moved her head. She wore a pale blue gown with beads and tiny silver discs sewn onto it in flower patterns. The ornaments that hung from her ears were lotus flowers made of gold. The princess's eyes still looked sad, but her mouth was upturned in a small smile. She was older than her brother. Ping guessed she was about 2x10 years old. Ping felt plain and clumsy in the company of this beautiful young woman, whose every move was graceful. Even when she brushed away a fly, it seemed like a part of an elegant dance. Ping was wearing a new gown and had taken care to brush her hair and plait it neatly, but sitting next to the princess, she still felt like a grubby slave. When Dancer had taught Ping to count, 10 numbers were all she had needed to learn. All the other thousands and thousands of numbers could be formed using just those 10 numbers. She had expected that learning to read would be just as easy once she understood the system.
Words are not as simple as numbers, the princess explained as she unrolled a bamboo book. There is a different character for each word. To learn to read, you must learn thousands of individual characters. Ping's heart sank.
She looked at the book that was laid open on the princess's lap. Each character consisted of a combination of strokes, lines, curves, and dots. It seemed impossible to differentiate one from another.
The princess pointed out that some characters had only 3 or 4 strokes, while others had as many as 2×10. Ping wanted to learn